sitting here on my right, but the left as far as you guys are concerned, our first liberal panelist. You know him as the founder and anchor of the Young Turks. Please welcome Cenk Uygur, everybody. Great to see you, my friend. And our next panelist on the left, please welcome my dear friend, comedian. You've seen her on Showtime, HBO, and NBC, Aida Rodriguez, everybody. Welcome. And on the right, we have the host of Tipping Point on One America News Network. Please, well, host of, yeah, I already said it, host of Tipping Point with Liz Wheeler. Liz Wheeler, everybody. Welcome, welcome. And our final panelist on the right, comedian, you've seen his Comedy Central Hour special, writer on Anger Management, Fox News, CNN, the Loftus Party podcast, Michael Loftus, everybody.
Thank you.
All right, let's do this.
So, can you guys hear us still? There's a mic switch there, I apologize. So, all right, we'd like to start on the show before we get into our more contentious topics, and our aim, like Ken Garr, who will be chiming in with random comments from the back, said we aim to find solutions and compromises if possible, often fail at that for obvious reasons, but we try to start with something we can all agree on. So, despite what you think about the guy, can we all agree that the President of the United States should not be calling women horseface?
Agreed.
Agreed.
Yeah, I'll give it to you in the spirit of generosity.
You seem a little reticent on that, Loftus.
Well, I don't know. She called him a lot of names. When she starts talking about the size of his wiener, and everybody's like, she's brave.
You know how many things they said about Obama that he did not respond to? Like, he's the president of the free world. Right. He should be dignified in his behavior. That's ridiculous to try to justify. You sound like you're justifying behaviors of children. Like, I'm a mom. Like, oh, he called you what first? That's the president of the United States.
Yeah, I'm a fan of porn stars, personally. But at the same time, I don't think that the president should need to go tit for tat with a porn star in the public sphere.
Isn't that how it all started?
That's a strong point. That's a very strong point.
Cenk and I have reversed. He's going to be telling the jokes, and I'm bringing the rage.
So, in the spirit of moving on to things that hopefully we can still agree on, but we shall see, let's move on to our first of our two major topics. And also at the end of this panel, if it hasn't been mentioned, we will turn to the audience for questions or comments in a segment that we like to call Triggered. Happy? So you'll be triggered. You're going to have things to say or ask. Please prepare your questions as we go.
Oh, is Charlie Kirk here?
He got a little triggered yesterday. I was at that panel. Which reminds me, my first question to all panelists, how much do you make a year? Kidding.
I'm looking at the other stand-up comedian, and I'm like...
Yeah,
it's tough out there for a stand-up.
It is hard out there.
Old Uncle Sam takes 60 cents for every dollar.
That's a strong point. I had a TV show for many years, and then that TV show went away, and then I was like, what, I can do a gig in Pacoima for $60? I'm in.
Yes.
All right, so our first of our two major topics is immigration. Dream big, but maybe not that big. Dreamers who have lived here since they are children are at risk of deportation, and children are being separated from their parents and put in cages, or have been, and still are separated. At the same time, we have caravans of illegal immigrants heading for our borders, and many say it's too easy to get in. So what is a common sense solution that both sides can be happy with?
Can I say something?
Sure.
Can we start by you not calling my people illegal and just call them undocumented?
Are your people illegals only?
My father was deported from the United States, and I didn't grow up with him. He got deported three times, and I hate when people refer to a human being as illegal. They're just undocumented.
Sure. Totally fair, but just... quickly, in my defense, I think it's different to call somebody an illegal and then to say illegal immigrants. If there's a law and they're immigrating illegally, I think it's fair to label them as illegal immigrants, okay. Just like any law being broken.
But I saw in the packet it said illegal, so I just want to make
sure. Well, the packet was written by a real asshole. I don't know who did it.
Whoa, I'm standing right here, Ben. That's bullshit,
okay? Oh, that was
okay?
Ken. Sorry about that.
By the way, if anybody needs an Uber right after this, I'm a part-time Uber driver, so make sure.
Also comedian. There we go. Immigration. Where do you guys think it stands? How do you think Trump's doing when it comes to immigration right now?
I'll take this one.
Go for it.
I think he's doing good, but he could do better. I think we do need to respect the dignity of all people that are here in this country, whether they're here legally or illegally. But I disagree with you a little bit. I think we need to label things in a truthful manner. If someone has broken the law, that's how we need to refer to the action that they took part in. If someone came here and violated our law, crossed our border illegally, they've committed a crime. That's a law in our nation. So referring to someone as an illegal immigrant isn't an assault on their dignity. It's recognizing that they assaulted our law.
So can we call Trump, who has obviously obstructed justice, violated the Emoluments Clause, and so many other illegalities, can we call him the illegal president?
Is he an illegal president, or did he win legally?
No, I'm not talking about the election. I'm talking about the fact that he has clearly violated the laws. He committed obstruction of justice on national television. So if I can call him illegal president and you love it, then maybe we could talk about illegal immigrant.
If he commits a crime and is convicted, we'll get up here together and call
him. Hey, wait, can you remind me which crimes undocumented immigrants were convicted of? Because I don't think they were convicted of any.
Hey, can you please leave Miss America alone?
Fair point, but also, crossing the border illegally for your first time is a misdemeanor. It's not even like a legit crime. I commit misdemeanors on the reg.
So should we call you illegal?
Sure. I like it. Anything gives me an outlaw vibe.
I think the solution, the common ground, is we need to enforce the laws that are on the books. We have a very generous legal immigration system. We take in about 1 million people a year. And right now, undocumented or illegal immigrants, they're... Yale just found out. Everybody used to assume, oh, there's 11 million undocumented illegal people. Yale just did a study. It's 22 million.
So my question is, how do you deport 22 million people, and how does this country survive? How does the economy survive if you deport 22 million illegals, as you guys like to call them? Not you, but you know what I'm saying?
I don't think, to be fair, anybody's suggesting that we deport all of the people that are here.
Of course, because nobody's going to mow the lawn if you deport all of them, right? Right.
I certainly don't advocate that. Here's the thing. When we're talking about compromise and immigration reform, I think we have to leave the peripheries to the side for a second and actually get to the heart of the matter. When we're talking about the great big wall or the great big door in the great big wall, we have to, conservatives and Democrats, sit down and ask each other, what's the heart of the matter here? Do we want open borders, or do we want to regulate who comes into our country? And we're not going to be able to compromise on the nuances until we answer that question.
What?
All right, so let me dive in here. So first of all, I'm ready for the wall. So there's compromise right there. As long as Mexico pays for it, just like Trump said. I mean, I didn't say it. He said it. He didn't say it once. He said it like 100, 200 times. So as long as we get the check from Mexico, let's build a wall. Otherwise, I think he should shut up about it. Because that was his promise. It wasn't my promise. You all heard it. You can't now say, hey, you want me to pay for it? I thought you got elected saying Mexico was going to pay for it, and you were a tough guy who was going to make him do it. So be a tough guy and make him do it. Otherwise, shut up.
So here's my question then.
Right now we spend $116 billion. That's for the 11 million undocumented. But if it's actually 22 million, you double that. So I think he's going to pass the savings along on to us.
Okay, that is not remotely true, and I'll tell you why. So first of all, the undocumented immigrants pay taxes. They pay into Social Security and Medicare, and they never get it out. So they actually put more into the system than they take out of the system. So what you hear about the cost is a total and utter lie. Utter lie, okay? So they actually put in more into the system. Second of all, look, I actually can answer Ben's question about compromise solution, but the Republicans will never, ever go for it. And it's actually a draconian solution. It's indentured servitude lasted 7 years, and then you got to stay here. That's the beginning of the country. It wasn't pleasant. It was pretty gnarly. That's how we started, and it was. And I don't believe in those traditions and heritages. But right now, the current compromise proposal is that 14 years of indentured servitude here, then you get to be on a pathway to citizenship. Now, I say let's go back to 7 years, and you've earned it. You worked here, you believe in the American dream, and then you could become a citizen. So do we have a deal at 7 years?
You lost me at indentured servitude, man.
Because
slavery, it's not so bad.
That's your proposal. It's twice indentured servitude, and you still won't agree to it. Twice as bad as indentured servitude, and they will not agree to it.
Right. Cenk's point is that if you're living here without official status and you're being to some degree exploited with lower wages and you're not getting to take benefits out of the system, that is a strong – I think it's very fair to say that's pretty close to indentured servitude. if you've been here for a very long time, can we have compassion in our policies? You say our existing laws are good, right?
How many people are we supposed to save?
So what?
Can we save the world?
No, we cannot save the world.
Because if there's people coming
in
from
Guatemala
and Honduras, can we take more children from Africa and China?
No, we should start with the little white boys who shoot up schools and theaters in America is where we should start. We like to give immigration a brown face. Are you talking about the Eastern Europeans that come here? Because you're talking about building a wall. Is that going to keep people coming from China? It's always our people who are demonized. And you talk about we come here and we commit crimes and the Democrats want the MS-13 to come here and rape all the white women. We hear that bullshit all the time. Where? We got to be scared right now. Look how many white boys are out here. We got to worry about them shooting this bitch up. And it's really frustrating to have to hear that immigration comes from Mexico, El Salvador, when we all know that people migrate here from all over the world, overstay their welcome, abuse our economy, break the laws, and then you want to blame it on the people who come here who are honorable. They work, they mow lawns, they do all kinds of things that you would never do.
Sell delicious fruit in fruit carts, an incredible value, $5 for so much fruit.
So much mango.
It's hard to believe.
And I do want to point out.
Iffy hot dogs wrapped in bacon.
Those are also amazing. You ever been drunk leaving a club? That's a lifesaver, those hot dogs.
And technically, China does have a wall, so.
That's a strong point, too. Strong point, Ken Gar.
They knew we'd eventually be coming.
That's right. So, and also, something like, at least recently, a 2014 number, something like 44% of people that are here in an unauthorized capacity are people that have overstayed their visas. So those are people that did not just come over the border, that a wall would not stop. And so why do we have to demonize one particular group is what I wonder. Why can't we just have a comprehensive common sense that then leads to a comprehensive solution?
Yeah. Here's the thing, and I think this is why Build the Wall resonated with voters in the last election.
Racist.
Is because when... I'm sorry? Because when the Democrats are in charge and they all say, we need border security... Bill Clinton, we need border security. You know, you can see the videotape of him saying we need to do something about the border. The Democrats do nothing, and then when the Republicans are in charge, they do nothing either. Someone is digging the cheap labor, and I don't like it. So hey, I'm for if you're overstaying your visa, gone, daddy, gone.
And that is a fair point though too about Bill Clinton, because even Hillary Clinton used to be in favor of a border fence, which. In some way of looking at it, it's sort of more cruel than a border wall, because she's basically saying we can let the people trying to cross the border peek in at America and just not cross.
Here's my question. If a border wall is racist, was it racist when Senator Hillary Clinton and Senator Barack Obama voted in favor of funding one in 2006?
Yes. So, no, the talk about a border wall, what resonated, I was kidding around and saying, partly kidding, resonated with racists, it's because there's this idea of we got to keep the others out. And if we build a wall tall enough, they won't be able to, and using the language of the right wing that has literally been used over the last 2 years, they won't be able to infest our country. And that's why it resonated with those particular people. In terms of having laws, we all agree to it. Look, I'm a legal immigrant. I believe in doing it the right way. I also understand that those people don't have some of the privilege that I had. You know, my dad had built up a company already in Turkey and had the airfare to be able to come here and had my uncle already lived here, whereas somebody fleeing violence in Honduras does not have all of that privilege. So I think that it's fair to have our laws and enforce our laws. And by the way, Michael's right about one thing. Look, I'm compromising. Look at this, right? Is that it's mainly the corporations that want those people here for cheap labor. Unfortunately, it's those corporations that fund all of our politicians. And that is why, as usual, as with every issue, you have got to get money out of politics.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with that as well.
I agree with that as well.
Liz, but I tell you what, if I hear one more pundit.
Unlimited?
But sorry.
Sorry to interrupt real quickly. 2 second tangent on money and politics. If money's free speech, it disproportionately gives much more speech to rich people, which
well,
I think.
Well, who's stopping you from going out and making more money if you want more money?
You're supposed to amass a huge wealth, then spend
really
political speech.
Yeah. Easy, down.
Whoa.
Down, bad audience.
Look, even the people that support Donald Trump are looking at you like, what the fuck are you talking about? They're like, really, bitch, did you just say that shit out loud?
Can we please let the lesbian on the right finish his thought?
Yes, because I love your jokes.
I can't even remember what I was saying.
It still comes back to the heart of the matter. You haven't answered the question yet. The people that are here, should we regulate who comes into our country? And if the president and his administration, whether it's Democrat or Republican, isn't enforcing that our laws that are on the books, should we determine who comes into our country, or should we just allow anybody who wants to come into our country, legal or otherwise, come in? Because that seems to be the difference between the right and the left right now.
So let me clarify, because I thought I was clear. No, I believe in enforcing the laws, and I believe that the people who are here in an undocumented status should either work 7 years under the processes that we have set up, and then they have a pathway to citizenship. Or if they don't want to do that, of course, then they should leave the country, and that there should be an orderly process for doing that. And so it doesn't mean that we have to be brutal to them. It doesn't mean that we have to call them criminals and rapists. It doesn't mean that we have to demonize them. Right. It means we treat them like human beings who are all striving for the same thing. Now, look, you and I grew up in America with a lot of privilege. But if you're a kid who grew up in Honduras, I mean, it's easy to say, well, why don't you just get rich? Right? But, I mean, Donald Trump, the president, the leader of the right wing now, said he got a small $1 million loan from his dad.
Which turns out was like $100-something
million.
Yeah, no,
it turns out it was $413 million. Woo-hoo! And that is privilege defined.
Right, but still not answering the question. So even if, and here's my compromise. Here's my compromise.
I just laid out the whole process.
Here's my compromise. See what you think. This is my compromise. I think it's a good idea. I think you'd be surprised at the appetite of Republicans to actually grant people who are here illegally, who are otherwise law-abiding citizens, legal status if the flow of illegal immigrants was cut off. If we had a great big wall and a great big door in that great big wall, I think you'd be surprised at how many
Your
people...
Your two people are clapping
so
real hard.
I think... No. Wait, let me ask you. If we gave legal status to all those people and didn't secure our borders in some way, didn't regulate people who have overstayed their visas, what would stop a whole millions and millions of other people from saying, well, all I have to do is jump the border and I get to stay there forever?
What stopped them in 1492? Like, what stopped them back in the day when you guys came here and stole a country that didn't belong to you? Like, what stopped you then? And I look at the Latinos and the black people here who are pumping this. Once you get your status and you feel like you're good, and then you don't throw the rope back, and you look at your people and you're like, why can't they do it? I did it. There's a systemic issue here that we continue to ignore when it comes to people of color, and why we don't get... They tie our leg behind our back, our arms behind our back, have a head start, and then say, why can't you catch up? That is the reason why we can't just come here and just do the magical things when you are the salt of the earth as a white woman and things are laid out for you to be able to have. You can sneeze and say, this black guy looked at me the wrong way and he's in jail and getting beat down by the cops. It's not that easy to just say, why can't you guys just get it together? Are we going to ignore the years and years and years of systemic racism and oppression that prevents people of color from moving ahead?
Yes.
I'm going to ignore it. As a white woman, let me agree, that is a fair point. That's a fair point.
But can I just answer Liz's question? Liz, we do have laws. That's why Barack Obama broke the record on number of immigrants deported. You make it sound like there are no laws, and it's just lawless and an open border.
No, I said
it's
we don't enforce border. Our laws. Actually, no. I gave credit to Barack Obama. Yeah. For the deportations and enforcing the
right.
law.
Right. So my one of my issues with the wall, and everybody's got
we
different
got that on
issues,
tape, right?
is that it's incredibly expensive and not very efficient. But if you want to talk about border security, we already have border security. Both Obama and Trump have greatly increased it. We have laws to deport people. We deport millions of people. So we already do it. So this talking point like, oh, my God, it's a lawless country. Anybody can walk in and we do nothing about it is not remotely true.
We do. No, it's incredibly true. Yale just did a study. It's not 11 million illegal. They were vastly undercounted. It's 22 million illegal. And then when you stop zero tolerance, illegal border crossings were up 80% last month. You have to do something. And the reason the wall resonated wasn't because people are racist and want to stop all the brown people. It's we're tired of government lying to us. Every Republican gets on TV and like, we all agree the border, our immigration system's broken. And then the left gets on our border and they say it's broken. And they've been saying this crap for about 22 years. So finally Trump comes in and goes, build a wall, simple. And everybody goes, yeah, I'm on board for a wall.
You
will have a
everybody.
Big one. There'll be a monorail. There'll be casinos. It'll be awesome. We'll all have jobs and live like kings.
Well, so But again, I think what people on the left take issue with is, again, for the fifth or sixth time, not about enforcing the laws. It's about treating people in a humane way and not demonizing
one group
of
people. Not putting babies in cages.
Not putting children in cages, which is bad enough, but also in a Walmart, which
is
like,
no
thanks.
Do you remember those pictures? Do you remember the pictures of kids in cages wrapped in foil next to porta potties? Those pictures were from 2014 under President Barack Obama. Look it up.
No, there's two different things. As always, conflating two different issues. So let me address both of those.
Yeah, because I made a point.
So first of all, there are undocumented and unaccompanied minors that have come in under Republican and Democratic presidents. And unfortunately, you do have to put them somewhere before, as you adjudicate whether they should stay or leave. So Obama did have facilities, just like Republican and Democratic presidents have.
Yeah, it's facilities. But when
Obama did not do is take accompanied kids from parents and rip them away from their mother and their fathers, not give them an explanation, and separate them and put them
places.
In a prison. And by the way, the unaccompanied minors are usually 15 and above because it's a treacherous journey to get here. But the accompanied minors are as young as 3 years old and babies, etc. And that is far more traumatic. So there is a difference. So please stop conflating those things.
I grew up in a cage. I'm doing just fine.
And you know what? I would agree with him. I think that both parties pimp the people of color. I don't think that it's specific to just Republicans. I think everybody is pimping them to get elected.
That was Obama's white half that was
absolutely
doing that.
Absolutely. Everybody's in on the game. Disagreeing with that.
So in the way of compromise, we can move on to our last topic and then open it up for questions. Because one of the other things that the Trump administration now is doing and Jeff Sessions is trying to do is trying to soften the asylum laws, which now allow people that are fleeing persecution, they're saying, well, now we can just immediately take them back over and catch and release and put them back over and delay their process of getting a fair hearing in front of an immigration judge. And that seems to me unfair. One solution that the right sometimes suggests is that maybe you keep immigration asylum laws as they are, people entering official border entry points but not crossing the middle. So I'm curious what the left thinks about that. Does that seem fair? Because they're also cutting in front of other asylum seekers who are waiting in a big-ass line at the official ports of entry, and they're coming across, and they get to kind of double jump.
So in terms of Trump's policy of just not listening to asylum seekers, good news, there's precedent for that. We did that to the Jews who were trying to escape Nazis. That's exactly what we did. We turned their ships back and said, we don't care, go back into the hands of the Nazis.
But that's
so
what we're
are the Nazis running Guatemala and El Salvador? Are they running from Nazis?
Wait, I thought you guys were the ones saying MS-13 is the worst thing in the world. And a lot of times they're running from MS-13. And in case of Syria, they're literally running from ISIS, which you told me is as bad as Nazis. And what are we doing? I don't care. Just send them back. But send them back to ISIS. Send them back to MS-13. That's your position. Now, to answer Ben's question, look, I would greatly prefer that they come in through the port because that is the right way to do it. But I'm not going to say blanket no if you're crossing in a place that isn't the port. I'm not even going to listen to you. Why? You think that guy running for his life knows where the port is?
Right.
Some of them know it. Great, wonderful, and I want to help them know where it is, right? But a lot of them have no idea. They didn't get that memo. They didn't get the email telling them where the port is.
Right. And so how about this for a solution, a compromise from both sides. What if we were to build a wall, if it gets funded in a way that does not cost taxpayers money, we also then enforce our current laws, we also institute a visa tracking system so people do not overstay their visas, so that way you can stem this insane. We don't have that. Any app could figure out how to track you and give you notifications constantly, so I don't know what the problem is. But then also treat people humanely, and if people have been here since they were children and are not criminals, have not ever violated our laws, they get to stay because they've been part of our country and part of what made this country great.
Isn't that what Reagan did? Reagan granted amnesty to a bunch of people, and it's like, hey, I know you broke the law, but you're good.
Right.
You guys get to stay. And that sent a message to the rest of the planet. Oh, go to America. Get in any way you can. And
but
if they don't catch
great.
You, you
those
get to
immigrants
stay.
Didn't cause any problems. They became American citizens.
Listen,
they were all good.
There are a boatload of wonderful, wonderful people who are in really bad countries that desperately want to be here. We cannot take them all.
And it's racist in my mind if we only take brown people while we're watching kids in Africa die, when watching kids in Asia die, you know, because their lives are craps. But they just can't walk over and go, I didn't know where the asylum thing was.
Well, they can't walk over. We're supposed to do send boats again. I don't think that's the move.
So we cannot save the planet. We cannot save the planet. So let's save 1 million people a year. What's the number? How many should we take? How many should we take? How many illegals should we embrace?
So, once
you won't give me a number because there is no magic number.
All right, guys, I've put forward constructive solutions to every single answer and question. Okay, so let me break down your premises one more time. First of all, I love you pretending to care about African children.
Shall I show you the pictures of me in Soweto? Should I show you the pictures of me helping
Michael,
those children?
Then we got a deal.
Don't assume.
No, Michael, we got a deal then. If you do, that's wonderful. So how many African children should we bring into the country?
I'll say 250,000.
All right, great, wonderful. And you will be the only Republican in the country who says that. You think Trump's going to be in favor of that? You think the Republican Party's going to be in favor of that?
I think
250,000 African poor African kids.
Let me hear it.
One Republican.
Let me just hear it one more time. You said how many people from the shithole countries per year? Yeah. How many? I don't know.
Okay, Michael, you know the answer to that.
We'll break up the million that we get equally. We'll just do it by continent.
Okay.
Hey,
I already know the answer because. The Republicans right now are trying to kill the lottery system, which does bring in more diversity from all over the world.
It's ridiculous.
So it's a literal answer to your question. The Republicans say, hell no, I don't want people from other parts of the world. And in fact, it's not just undocumented immigrants. In fact, now you guys, and you correct me if it doesn't apply to you guys, that's fair, but the Republican Party and Donald Trump and Tucker Carlson and Fox News all say they are now against chain migration. Which is all it is family migration. That is actually 2/3 of legal migration. Once you knock out
Melania's parents got here, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. And if you knock out family migration and you knock out the lottery, you've knocked out 85% of legal immigrants. So in reality, it's not that they're worried about the illegality. It's that they're worried about immigrants. They just don't want them here. Finally, I don't accept your premise that those people are taking from us and we are saving them, okay? What they are doing is contributing to America. This is a country of immigrants. Look around you. We're all immigrants.
Right.
And that's how we built this country.
And we all waited in line.
They all waited in line. I don't remember Columbus waiting in line. Okay.
Sure.
I don't remember the pilgrims waiting in line. I remember them coming here and raping and pillaging and murdering their way into this country.
But Columbus
And it's okay. It's ancient history. But don't tell me they waited because they didn't wait and they had no papers. Christopher Columbus was the first undocumented immigrant.
But Columbus,
I'd like to disagree. I'm pretty sure Christopher Columbus raped and pillaged through official ports of entry.
Exactly. He did find a port. And I want to just point out that a lot of those African kids make great soldiers. Okay, that's really bad. All right.
I don't even know what that meant. Okay. So we have to move on. So in way of solution, can we all agree? Last time I'm going to try this. I'm moving on. Can we all agree that we need to enforce our current laws? If you want to build a wall that doesn't cost taxpayers money, build your wall. I said enforce our current laws, but also just treat people that are here humanely unless they committed crimes. Is that cool?
I am in agreement with that.
Agreed.
I just want solar panels on the wall.
I offered at the beginning. I said legalize the people that are here illegally as long as the flow has been stopped.
Okay.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed. On the wall, which you stated, as long as Mexico pays for it.
Great.
just fixed immigration. How about a round of applause, everybody?
Solved the immigration problem. Wonderful.
That's how we the people work. We're doing it.
All right.
We're changing the world.
All right. Our next topic here, our last big topic, and then we will open for questions. This is a small little one. It's about Trump generally. So, reality check for the reality star. We all know Trump tweets too much and is not the most polite guy in the world. But the left thinks he's a racist, misogynist, traitor, eroding our values and faith in our institutions, while
Sounds
the right thinks he's doing a bang-up job, the economy's doing great, and he's being unfairly attacked. So the question is, despite his demeanor, is Trump actually doing a good job?
All right, look, all right, so he once tweeted that the two things he is best known for in his life are being like a smart person... and being very mentally stable. So I want you to imagine...
With the best words. The best words you've ever heard.
The strongest words.
And his uncle went to MIT. Don't forget that, please.
Oh, yeah. I want you to imagine that a guy walks up to you in a bar and says, I'm known for two things. One is being like a smart person, and the other is being really mentally stable. How quickly do you run?
Listen, as a stand-up comedian with two stand-up comedians to my side, I can say that he is probably one of the best comedians in the game.
He's pretty funny.
Some of the shit that he says is hilarious.
He's a Don Rickles of presidents.
Man, and I...
Without the warmth.
As a Puerto Rican person, I'd like to be thankful to him because up until the hurricane, you know, a lot of people didn't know what Puerto Ricans were. And...
The paper towel was a nice move. People were wet, and he dried some of
them. Yeah, no.
Beautiful soft towels.
But you know what's funny? I watched a panel here yesterday. Michael Steele was on this panel, and they were Republicans, and they were conservatives. And what they said was, just because we are Republicans does not mean that we have to endorse bad behavior. It doesn't mean that we have to agree with a rhetoric that... When people say that Donald Trump is racist, we're not pulling that out of the air. If you don't believe us, ask the Central Park Five. Ask, you know what I mean? Ask the people who have been directly attacked.
Ask people who are anti-white nationalists.
Well, they're good people on both sides, Ben.
Very fine
okay?
people. Very
people.
Fine. Yeah.
So, I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. And listen, I think Donald Trump is hilarious from a comedic standpoint. And I understand why some people who were tired of what has been going on in this country would gravitate towards someone who will just speak their minds because people are tired. But what I think is happening is that they're being pimped because nobody really cares about the people right now. And this whole thing that Donald Trump is going to come save the people of this country who have been struggling, he won't even sit at a table with you. He's an elitist. And he doesn't even see you. And you are falling for that bullshit that he cares about you, and he doesn't. And if chain migration is a bad thing, then Melania's people gotta go home, right? Yeah. It only pertains to those of us who are not in the 1%.
But why does it seem like, while Republicans may not have to excuse bad behavior, it seems like Republicans in Congress do have to excuse it because they do constantly. They were against Trump and said he was unfit for office, said he was mentally unstable, said he was deranged, said he was a danger to our country. And then he's president, and they're getting some of their priorities passed, and all of a sudden that doesn't matter, and it seems like American values don't matter anymore. As long as you get tax cuts.
Well, it switched from you don't like the way he talks to right. American values.
What do
Trump's
you mean,
doing a great job.
Leftist,
he's
from
doing
leftist.
A great
from
job.
From minute one of his candidacy, he came down an escalator in a pretty ghetto fashion to announce a candidacy for a billionaire. But he came down an escalator and said, Mexicans are rapists. I'm running for president.
No,
so
he did
that didn't
not.
Come from
and
being
that
rude.
Is...
He did say that.
It's the quote.
Yes, we can.
I can't take it. It drives me crazy. Fox News loves to take a Madonna quote out of context. Madonna at the Women's March, she goes, I've thought about blowing up the White House. And then she goes on to say, but violence isn't the solution. It's actually a wonderful notion. But they just take that little soundbite. Trump came down the golden escalator and he goes, they're not sending their best people. They're sending their criminals. They're sending their rapists. And yeah, if I committed a crime in Mexico, I'm going to come to America. And what's the difference? In America, when a cowboy would break the law, and they'd always go to Mexico. It's always, that's the thing. He's not saying are all rapists,
no,
they
no,
are
no.
all criminals.
He's essentially saying that, because the exact quote, to fill you the full context, he added one little rejoinder at the end, he goes, and some, I assume, are good people. So he literally said, almost everybody that is coming is rapists and criminals, except the rare few exceptions.
Okay.
And as we've been talking about,
so
like
I'll
you
compromise.
Agreed a minute ago.
I'll compromise.
Like we agreed a minute ago, before your bullshit compromise. I'm kidding. But give me a second. like you agreed a second ago, if we're treating people with humanity, it's because most people coming here are to seek a better life for their families. They're coming with their families. How is that rapists and criminals? Countries don't have a way to get their rapists to move
en masse. Illegal immigrants make up 3.5% of our population. They account for 13.6% of criminal convictions.
Can I use my fact
That's
check?
What people are talking Can about when they're talking about crime.
They're not saying
that all illegal immigrants are criminals, but they are talking about a higher percentage of illegal immigrants who commit crimes.
They're roughly the same percentage.
All right, look, let's break it down one at a time. First of all, they are sending their criminals and rapists. It's projection. Like, the government of Mexico or Honduras or El Salvador, I mean, what are they, taking people out of prison and sending them? No, those are
Survey.
People.
Are you a rapist?
That's unheard of. Get on the bus.
Right.
Can I tell you how the American people judge President Trump when we're outside of this bubble of politicon, outside of the bubble of politics? They don't care about these nuances. They care about whether they're doing better now than they were last year. Most voters don't watch the nuances of what's happening in politics. They look at what's happening in their everyday life.
Do they have a job?
Are they able to provide for their families? Are they safer? Are they able to afford to send their children to college?
Safer.
That's what motivates people to vote. Right. That's
Whoa.
What people care about, Liz, and that's how they judge President
I will
Trump.
Kick you all out of here right now, I swear to God.
Okay. And again, Gasparian chimes in and says, wages are still stagnant.
Yes. Now, look, guys, let me dig it one at a time. You interrupted. That's okay. We're going back and forth. But in terms of the criminality, it's just not true. In fact, legal immigrants such as myself commit the least amount of crimes. National-born citizens commit 4 times as much crime as legal immigrants. When it comes to undocumented immigrants, natural-born citizens commit more than twice as much crime as undocumented immigrants. So if anyone's sending criminals and rapists, okay, and in fact, that is the projection. The projection is, well, the UK, when there was the English Empire, did literally send criminals and rapists to the state of Georgia and Australia. So that's where the idea comes from, because back then, white monarchs sent their criminals and rapists to lands to criminally rape those lands.
Yeah, all of Australia is criminals, and we love Australian people.
And that's how it started.
Just
but that is
record.
Not what happens today.
So on the criminality,
I am happy to get fact-checked, because I know those facts. And by the way, one of those studies is from the Cato Institute, a libertarian institute, and it's about Texas. So there's one that is across the country. So that is a stone-cold fact. In fact, American-born people are, on average, far more criminal. Okay.
I mentioned all my crimes earlier. No one's taking me seriously. I am a criminal. I don't know if you understand.
So now to address your second point about how great everybody's doing. Well, the S&P 500, you're right, is up, for example, 2,100 to 2,700 since Trump's been up. Well, that's not bad. It went up 600 points.
I've made money on that.
Yeah, all right. Under Obama, it went from 700 to 2,100. So that
Three
is
times.
Tripled under Obama. So under Trump, it went up 30%. Under Obama, it went up 300%. I assume that you think Obama's 10 times as good a president as Donald Trump, based on your metrics.
And the unemployment rate went from like 12% to like 4.8, and now it went from 4.8 to 3.4, which is like also astronomically
which
better.
Which president, I forget, remind me, which president never had a quarter of over 3% GDP growth? Trump
that's
or
not,
Obama?
That's also not true. He went well over 4%. One quarter he hit 5%. Obama did. None of those things are true.
Obama had 5%?
You can say things are true.
Obama was stymied by the economy. He's like, this guy says he's going to bring back jobs. Those jobs.
Wait, no, no. Hold on, guys.
Bush waiting for the question.
Someone shouted, George Bush ruined it, you idiot. And I mean, George Bush did tank the economy. On the way out, he was literally saying, we're about to have the worst depression since the Great Depression. I'm out. So it was not a great moment.
No more comments, Duck Dynasty. All right, keep it down.
So, Michael, look, by every metric, the deficit was at $1.4 trillion. Obama brought it down to $585 billion. Now it's going to go back up to $1.1 trillion in just 2 years under Trump. Unemployment went from 10% to 4.8%. He cut it by half. So these are all under you saying Obama doesn't know the economy is just counterfactual. But in terms of what really matters to Anna's point, both Obama and Trump had stagnant wages. So the reality is you guys didn't get any of the gains. It all went to the rich. It went to the rich under Obama. It's going to the rich under Trump. And the reality is we're all getting screwed by both parties.
This was my point before. If you look, if you take the average American, and you look at their paychecks, you ask them how much they're making every week or every 2 weeks, whenever they get their paychecks, since the Trump tax cuts, the Republican tax cuts went into effect, the average American now has $80 to $390 per paycheck more than they did before that. Do you think that doesn't matter to voters?
First of all, this is a serious question. Here's the hilarious part.
For sure that matters to voters.
It does matter to voters. It does.
First of all, we all get direct deposit. They're not getting paychecks anymore.
What are you going to say, Loftus?
Oh, I just love how, like, we have a fact that supports our side, and you guys just roar like an angry mob.
Look,
that's
hilarious. That's a fair point. That's nice. But also look at the systemic structure of that tax cut. Why do you think it is that the tax cut was permanent for rich people and temporary for poor people?
So would you support if it was permanent across the board?
It'd be better.
Would you support it, yes or no?
And to answer your question, probably the reason why they're saying roar is because their paychecks are probably not reflecting what she's saying.
Is that true?
That's probably why they're like, no.
So
even the Duck Dynasty guy in the back applauded to that one. So,
all right, so Paul Ryan bragged that some checks are as low as $1.50 extra in your paychecks. Wow. Now, do you want to know what the top 1% got on average? $61,000 a year in that tax cut. That's what that tax cut was all about. And then Liz says, hey.
61 grand of political speech right there.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Every year. And Liz says, hey, look, some of you might have gotten $1.50. Some of you might have gotten $80 or $390, depending on how much you make. And congratulations. These are the guys, by the way, who said, oh, Obama just wants to give away goodies to minorities. But so now they go, hey, I gave you something in your paycheck. But meanwhile, don't look at what I really gave away, which is $61,000 a year to
how
the
many,
rich.
How many companies paid that forward? How many companies gave their employees raises or bonuses after the
very,
tax cuts?
Very
few. No, give me the number. If you don't know the number, then you don't know what you're talking about. How many?
Okay, so for Liz, let's take AT&T as an example. So they said, hey, guys, it's great. We're going to give you guys bonuses. And then they said afterwards, but not all of you. And then while no one was looking and while Trump wasn't beating his chest over it, they fired people. They fired thousands of people. And what did they mainly use the money for? Stock buybacks so that the executives got rich.
So Trump can only do so much in 2 years. And when he's reelected
Thank
in 2020,
God.
You'll all be more well off.
He can only do so much damage, are you saying, or progress? Which one are you saying? So here's the question. So not only are those tax cuts disproportionately skewed to the rich, but to the crux of my original question, if Obama and Trump both improve the economy at a pretty steady clip, even take away the three times or five times we just talked about, let's say it was equal. They both equally are improving the economy. If both sides are getting their economy improved equally, and one of those sides is trying to foment anger, to re-energize racists, to try to discriminate against LGBTQ people, to try to demonize foreigners coming into the country, and to just rabble-rouse the country, trying to almost try to push us towards what feels like a civil war he wants, why is that good? Why are the values of our country not more important? And it's the thing I never understand about Trump supporters. Because it's not right now, in my eyes, about Republican policies versus Democrat policies. It's about what makes a country. What makes a nation, in my eyes, is the basis of it, the fabric of it. It's the values. It's the institutions that create the system in which we live. And he tries constantly to undermine our institutions. He calls all of our institutions bullshit. He says that they're full of shit and they're partisan. Says our courts are partisan. Says our elections are rigged. Says Russia isn't as bad as we think they are. And in fact, they're doing great stuff and they didn't meddle. And everybody says they did meddle. And he calls Mexicans rapists. And he calls brown people bad that need to be banned from our country. Why is that okay?
He makes fun of disabled people.
The Republican slogan is country first. Why is it not country first? And why isn't there a widespread rebuke of him overall? I don't like Trump. I also love the economy doing great. I like him for that. I like some of his tough talk in certain instances. I didn't agree with going out of the Iran deal, but I liked him talking tough afterwards because they shouldn't be threatening death to America. But why can't we say on a more basic level, this man is not who America is?
When did... It's this whole, he's a racist, he's a racist. It's just so boring. Like,
here's my question. Here's my question about racism. This is the liberals. Talking point to bring everything back to racism. There are very, very few people in our country who are true racist, and that's a good thing. Very few people who are true racist.
Let me get my question in.
If the left cares as deeply about people of color as they claim they do, why do they ignore the fact that 500,000 unborn black babies are aborted every year?
Okay, wait a minute.
Boom. Mic drop, Liz Wheeler.
We only have
five minutes.
So go quickly, and then we have to go to questions.
You guys really care about them after they're born, right?
So that's the only comeback you have?
Really? Wow. And let me just answer this from the perspective of a person of color as the mother of a black son. When you talk about very few people being racist in this country, I swear to God these videos are like an episode of Scooby-Doo when people never believed us, when we kept talking about this racism, and people keep saying to us, it's a figment of your imagination. Get over it. It was 400 years ago. And every week, every single day, women accusing even children of doing things that they didn't do. This racism that you're talking about, that's systemic and has been in this country for centuries, and you keep asking us, what are you talking about? Are you seriously telling me that you think that very few people are racist in this country when the numbers of hate groups has gone up to now every new little clique? Look at all the shirts around here.
And
it's so tone deaf to tell people of color that very few people are racist when we gotta watch our sons die on the streets every fucking week. It's so offensive. It's really offensive. I'm sorry.
And it's certainly not boring to talk about it, that's for sure. It's certainly not boring. I think we can tell that for sure.
We've got
4 minutes left, so we have to move on.
Really?
Can I answer really quick?
Sure.
And
sure.
I say that with all the love in my heart, because I don't hate white people the way some white people hate us. I say that with all the love in my heart.
Yeah, and I've been friends for a long time. She's very sweet.
You're my favorite Jewish person on the planet.
Thank you so much.
In fact, I'm going to take Ida to dinner tonight. We're going to do that.
Please, Liz, quickly for 1 minute, and then we're going to go to 3 minutes of questions.
All right, so first of all, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. I didn't say there wasn't racism.
You said very few people.
I said very few racists. I say the same thing about Antifa. I don't conflate white supremacists on the extreme right and Antifa on the extreme left
It gets old to hear people who bask in their privilege and walk around oblivious to the realities of those who cannot hide, because we don't have the camouflage to hide in this. So when you come with these questions that are offensive, that is an offensive question, which you don't seem to understand, you are offending every black man in this audience. You are offending every black man in this audience, every man of color in this audience.
Why don't you condemn that as racism then? Why don't you condemn aborting black babies as racism then, if that's what you're talking
about? Why do you feel the need?
Because abortion is the law of the land, and you're allowed to get an abortion if you want.
Don't talk to me about the Bible, because the Bible is the Bible which I grew up on. You are supposed to walk so much in the light, not judge anybody else. If you want to talk Bible talk, it's not your job to judge anybody for an abortion. It is your job to walk in a way worthy of the calling that all of these people would want to seek Jesus, because you do it so well. It is not your job to go around judging anybody about their abortion. And listen, the agency of women's bodies, which you should be fighting for as a woman, over our own bodies. Ridiculous and so tone deaf. And you know what?
So I think we solved that one. We have time for one question because we only have 1 minute left.
We're two for two.
This person right there in the middle has their arm. Ken, we got someone raising their arm very, very fervently in the middle there.
Young lady, we want to hear from this young lady back there. Can you pass the microphone back?
Sorry, we don't have enough time, but it got a little heated.
Hi. Hi, guys. Hello. My heart is racing right now. This is a really intense panel.
I don't know why.
So I'm a flaming liberal, so of course my question is for the conservatives.
Yay!
My question, I want to go back to the taxes. Basically, throughout this whole panel, you said Trump did one good thing, and that was give me $90 on my paycheck. I'm pretty sure that's what you said.
Well, we didn't get to tell you all the great stuff.
Okay, so my question is this. With that $90, and that's an average, right? What am I able to buy between my rent, between my food, between my child care, between my clothing, between my raising electric bill, my phone bill, every single thing that I need to survive, transportation, all of those things? What am I spending that $90 on that is actually going to help me or help someone who just made a dollar?
I would recommend getting the Mint app.
All right, we got about 30 seconds, guys.
You can do whatever you
want
with that money. I don't, listen,
let's go one last question right here in the front, and then we're ending it up right here. We don't have time?
I want to answer that really quickly.
We're out of time.
Please, and then we're good.
Can I answer?
Please, yeah, quickly.
Okay, so when you dismiss $90 to $390, it just makes it seem like there's privilege involved. There are a lot of people in this country who that's a lot of money too. It is important. It's the difference.
We have to wrap up.
That's the difference between being able to.
We have to wrap up, but telling us we have to wrap.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's thank our panel.
Hold on. I got it. I'm wrapping right now. Okay. We do this show every single month at the Hollywood Improv Lab. Our next one is on November 20th. Only seats 55 people. Please come and support us. It's hard to fill it, crazily. We get panels like this. Improv.com for tickets. November 20th, 8 p.m. Thank you to Ida Rodriguez, Cenk Uygur, Liz Wheeler, and Michael Loftus. I'm Ben Glebe for Ken Garn, Shannon Lee, and Mike Malone. Thank you so much.